good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 26th April 2022, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing on sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 238 of the hard copy. Just relax body and mind. Then you'll have our, as usual, half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Be off the light so that you can begin your awareness-based meditation. So 30 minutes. Make full use of this to develop the stability of sati awareness. Then use that to stabilize your meditative state, to meditate. If you do it properly, you will progress very fast. You will understand many things. Okay, I will now set the 30 minutes alarm. And after that, you have to remember, just relax body and mind, followed by maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then, if possible, stabilize awareness for as long as you can. Then stay at the heart area. Just let things be, whatever arise, let it arise. And maintain awareness. Maintain awareness means maintain the awareness, the awareness nature within. Not to do things, not try to know or whatever. It's just silently aware. The power of awareness is majestic, amazing, if you understand later. Because ability to be aware will transform our mind from the heedless thinking, mundane activity, into an awareness nature that is fully aware, that's all. And the awareness can be spacious awareness or spacious phenomenal awareness or just pure awareness without a center. So specific phenomenal awareness is the one that is related to life. Whereas the other one, spacious awareness without a center, is mainly for the meditative training. To be in that oneness nature. Why do we study the Buddha Dhamma? So this is a very important inquiry. Why? Because we wish to end birth and death and escape from the revolving wheel, means samsaric birth and death. So the text say, wary of sickness, aging, and death. The suffering of birth is included in this line. So like we all know, the first number two realities, the first four of the eight, birth, old age, sickness, and death. The Buddha say these are common realities within existence. All humanity, mankind, who live life long enough, will have to confront this four reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death. When you confront them without wisdom, without understanding, especially those who have sakadity or self-delusion, suffering will be the result. So because of that, continuous birth and death will continue to arise. This is what the karmic law is all about. When you have self-delusion, sakayadity, you cannot liberate from the cycle of birth and death. So all this are in the teaching. So the reason why we need to cultivate and develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma is because we wish to end birth and death. Without love, there is no more old age, sickness and death, no more suffering. And in fact, the realization of the enlightenment will lead to the cessation of birth and death. This is what enlightenment is all about. So in the Mahayana tradition, they always say, Liao Sen Si, means you do away with birth and death. No more birth means no more experiencing all the realities that can bring about suffering, affliction, misery. So to end that, you need to realize the Dhamma, which is the unconditioned Dhamma. So this unconditioned Dhamma will bring forth the transformation for that realization. Then, according to the karmic law, without ignorance, without avijja, there is no more rebirth consciousness. That's why we don't have to come back. But when we use the word we, it means all the living beings. But the understanding part behind this living being is very important. This living being is not what we think, although it's related to our life, our existence. It's karmically conditioned out from our karmic nature for us to arise within this existential world, to come as a living being. In this life, of course, we are born as human beings, one of the 31 planes of existence. So as a human being, we have this unique form and mind. The Buddha called it the five aggregates of form and mind. So this one needs to be understood clearly. If you cannot develop the meditative understanding to realize the universal characteristics of all phenomena, including the five aggregates, then you cannot free, you cannot liberate the mind. That realization is very important. So cultivating the Buddha Dharma means to develop the wisdom, the awakening, to realize the three universal characteristics of all phenomena, anicca, dukkha, anatta, means its universal characteristics of impermanence, its universal characteristics of suffering, dukkha, and finally its universal characteristics of anatta nature of all things or all phenomena. Anatta means empty nature, not a permanent unchanging entity. It all evolved around the first universal characteristic of impermanent change. The reason being, we live in a world which we call the existential world. And this existential world is condition arising, cause of phenomenon, dependent originating. They are all supported by causes and conditions behind their existence, their arising. So this is the difficult part where cultivators of Buddha Dharma need to realize and penetrate. And through this realization, they can relate back to their own form and mind, thereby realizing that this form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity, not real, not what you think. And you cannot deludedly grasp and cling onto it. When you do that, you arise as Sakkayatiti, self-delusion. And the Buddha, under the first number two, final summary, defines dukkha very clearly. He said, in short, it is due to living beings, Sakkayatiti, or self-delusion, that condition them to grasp and cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. So the grasping aggregate when you collapse onto it, Upadana khandas, your condition, suffering, or dukkha, or afflictions. And this is the final summary. So to understand this, we have to inquire deep. Why did the Buddha say that? How can we develop the understanding of it? So to develop the understanding of it, we need to understand what are these five aggregates of form and mind. That's why we have to meditate. Then when we understand what these five aggregates of form and mind means, the two aspects, then only we can put them to test and investigate into the truth that the Buddha has taught us. If we were to attach to them, cling onto them, grasp onto them, do we suffer? And this is how we actually develop the understanding. But in order to investigate, we need to have mindfulness, the awareness, the silent mind. We cannot just use the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the dependent originating mind, because that one is thought-based. Thought-based is limited because it is knowledge. Thought cannot realize the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you have to silence everything to develop the awareness nature within. That's the reason why we call it the awareness-based meditation. If you don't meditate to develop awareness, then you cannot realize the silent mind, the true mind. And when you cannot realize the silent mind and the true mind, you cannot awaken. There is no way. So this is the important aspect of understanding that cultivator of the Buddha Dharma must understand. Okay, then with this we go back to the sharing. Yeah? Because Xianhua didn't touch on that. Xianhua just say you cultivate Buddha Dharma because you want to be free from birth and death. You want to escape from samsara. Actually, it's not you. The form and mind is not you, not what you think. So this aspect need to be understood, otherwise you cannot comprehend the true teachings of what Sakyamuni Buddha is trying to teach us. Okay, now I read again, maybe you will have a clearer understanding. So the title says, why do we study the Buddha Dharma? So Xianhua say, because we wish to end birth and death, which is true, and escape from the wheel of birth, or revolving wheel of birth and death. So the text say, weary of sickness, old age, and death. The suffering of birth is included in this sentence. These are the first four realities, or the first noble truth. That's why it's very powerful. And in my analogy, they call it Liao Sen Si, to go beyond birth and death, means to transcend birth and death. Not only do we face the suffering of aging, sickness and death, but there is also the suffering of being separated from your loved ones. So here is mentioned on your loved ones, but actually this separation includes your whatever prized possession or things that you hold on to dearly, believing that it's real and belong to you, like your wealth, your property, your title, all of your whatever label that people give to you, all of your title. Eh? Maybe in Malaysia, they award you this type of title, Dato, Tan Sri, and many other. Then there is another level they call Tun. So all these are conventional reality within existence. So if you cling onto them, grasp onto them, it will develop problems. That's why whenever there is separation from your loved ones, from the thing you believe you own, like your wealth, your property, your business, your career, whatever you hold on to dearly, even your belief system, you can end up miserable. You will suffer. So this fifth reality is also very traumatic and very true. Then I read on. Then Shenhua say, you say I really love that person. Maybe you are a man who loves a woman or a woman who loves a man. You love each other and it makes you very happy. But when you have to part, you suffer. Yeah, so this is the suffering of separation. Then Shenhua said, I can avoid that kind of suffering, you say. You will simply never part. Like the marriage, during marriage, you take the marriage vow. Not until death do we part. So that part easier said than done. A lot of people say that during the marriage vow, at the end of the day, they decide to separate through divorce or whatever. Whenever he go, I will follow. If the one I love runs to the ends of the heaven, I will follow her there. If she runs to the moon, I will go to the moon. If she runs to the sun, I will follow her there. But this is maybe Shenhua's joke. You will? Are you sure? When she done, will you go along with her? Yes, you say definitely or defiantly. If you do, then you will suffer. But if you don't, you will also suffer. Either way, you will have to suffer. It just didn't work out. So these are for people who don't have the understanding or wisdom. People who are deluded because the attachment is so strong. It's like you have become so close and the affection, the love, the longing, the interdependent and all those things, that suddenly you lost your loved one or your spouse, just like Lee Kuan Yew. Immediately after the wife passed away, his health went down. He was really emotionally, psychologically, deeply affected. So all this can even happen to people who have such supposed to be intellectual power or intellectually strong people who has been Prime Minister of Singapore and other things. So when it comes to the Buddha Dharma, it's not about the title you have, how special are you, how famous are you, how powerful and authoritative are you. It's about understanding life. Can you be at peace at all times, no matter what happened to your loved ones, to life, to existence? That is the wisdom part that the spiritual understanding requires. Without this, there is no spirituality in the individual, which means you are still vulnerable. Vulnerable in the sense that you can be afflicted. Many things can cause you suffering and misery. I used to say and use this word, as a living being, as a human being, we are actually very fragile and very vulnerable. That's how you have to reflect. The form and mind is very fragile and very vulnerable. anything not in order, he can just die. Maybe an accident or a nature disaster or even any form of, like in the United States, is very common. Violent killing on the street. And it was reported last year alone, 2021, they have recorded 45,000 of killing. People just go onto the street and shoot. And for such a developed country, this number is pretty big. And they are now talking about how to deal with all those things. It has been there for so long, the violence and all these things. As far as this form of mind is concerned, the reason why I call it fragile is because the form of mind is very delicate and easily fall apart or get destroyed or harmed. And the vulnerability is about the mind that lack understanding and wisdom. Sometimes physically, you may be okay. But mentally, you cannot take the stress. You cannot accept what happened. The first number two reality when it afflicts you. So these are what realities are. The vulnerability of the mind being afflicted by what happened. So the Buddha Dharma is to help us cope with this aspect of life, which is very important to understand how we can look after the form and mind. We can invoke power of merits, make aspiration, then develop the understanding. Then at the same time, we can develop the understanding of the Buddha Dharma to liberate our mind so that we are not afflicted or affected by whatever that arises. So this is the reason why this teaching is very unique to Buddha Dharma. The truth that can be realized by the wise in the here and the now, each for themselves. That's why this Dhamma is Pachetang Vyeditabo Vinohiti. So this aspect of the Buddha Dharma, you need to contemplate, you need to reflect. That's why we in our yellow card, the Bodhisattva vow, I always advise you all to always request for the great beings to bless us, protect us, and guide us. So blessing, protection. Protection is for the form and mind. Guidance is the wisdom path, the understanding path, the cultivation part. Then when they bless us, their nature is different. But you must have causes and conditions and affinity with their nature for them to actually support you in this way. Then have gratitude and respect and thank them for what they have done for us. So all these are very important understanding. Okay, we move on to the sharing. So we continue. Then there is a suffering of being around with one head. Actually, this one, the English is not so good. This is the sixth reality of the first number two. When you are with people whom you don't like. And who are the people whom you don't like, just like what I have shared with you all. Sometimes in life, there are certain particular people, most people who don't have the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma, tend to develop dislike for them. Especially mother-in-law, step parents and all those things. And sometimes when you are with people who are like in position of authority to harass you, to disturb you, that's why they say they will manage you by harassment and putting fear into you. So management by fear and harassment can be very traumatic. But when you have bosses or people who are in charge of your career or whatever, your bosses or whatever, so it is not easy for you to work with them. Of course, you can say they are very fierce, unreasonable, very strict, very harsh. All this are the reality. But there are causes and conditions behind, and mainly it's karmic. So if you understand the karmic law, you can break free from this six reality. Then not only these two, there is also the school children's case where you are affected. Because in the school, we heard of bullies, gangsterism and all those things. And you can be harassed too. There's something in the work environment, sexual harassment, and many other type of situation where this sixth reality can be applied to. That's why when you are with people whom you don't like, can come in many forms. So how do you develop the wisdom to be at peace under such situation? And sometimes even among loved ones, children and parents, spouse or in-law parents, due to some minor issue or misunderstanding or selfish attitude, it can lead to conflict, misunderstanding, argument, then hatred, dislike, unhappiness. So this, when they arise, is the sixth reality. Means you cannot be peaceful even at home, especially those who came for their coming deaths. You have to repay your coming debt. Then you will be haunted. It is like Deva say, it's like hell. Every time I meet my spouse or my in-law, my whoever. So then you are with people who you don't like because of past karmic condition. This reality will hit and suffering will be the result. And most of the time, those in authority, they will dominate over those that don't have the authority. Then later on, it reverses its role. This is what the law of karma is all about. You reap what you sow. What you did to people in future, you reap the fruit of it by becoming the victim. Other people will harass you, disturb you, take advantage of you, and put fear in you. So these first six realities, they are very powerful. Then we move on. We see what Shen Hua had to say. So Shen Hua said, then there is the suffering of being around what one hates. Then you are with people whom you don't like. Then Shen Hua say, I just basically can't stand that person. Perhaps it's even your own spouse, just like what I mentioned just now. Those that come for their coming then. You may really be dissatisfied, but she follows you wherever you go. Or perhaps you say, I can't stand that friend of mine anymore. I have got to get rid of him or get away from him. But when you move to another city, you make another friend who turns out to be exactly like the first. This is called the suffering of being around people whom you don't like. Those with whom you have no affinity with, you grow to detest them, you dislike them. But the way fate would have it, actually is coming. When you leave that person and go somewhere else, you run into someone else like him. The people you left behind was half a pound, and these people turn out to be 8 ounces. Actually, this is a Mandarin proverb, Panjing Pai, Pun Kan Pan Liao. No more, no less, exactly the same. So this is the quote, I think direct translation from the Mandarin. There is also suffering of not getting what one desires. So this is the number 7 one. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, so suffering will arise too. So this is the 7th reality I have explained before. I just move on to read to you what Shenhua described here. You may want to get rich, but you are always poor. This one is not so bad actually. You may want to become an official, but you are always a cock. So this is what you mean by when things don't go your way, expectation in life are not met. You may want a good wife, but you can't find one. You may want a good husband, but you can't find one. You can get what you want. Sorry, you can't get what you want. And you brood on it morning and night, causing yourself endless affliction. Why? Because you can't get what you want or what you seek. Because you can't get it, you suffer even more, to the point that you cannot sleep. Insomnia strikes. You toys and turn. You roll over on one side, but you can't get to sleep. You roll over onto the other side, and you still can't get to sleep. From dusk to dawn, you don't sleep a wink. The next morning, your eyes hurt, your body is tired, and you feel terrible. Would you say that was suffering or not? You may say, I don't suffer in that way. I'm not greedy to get rich, to become an official, or to find a good wife or husband. I don't want any of this. I don't hate or love anyone. I don't endure suffering, do I? Your body is still subject to the tricks played on it by the 5 skandhas. Form, feeling, means rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana. Here, I think is a direct translation. Direct translation from the Mandarin. Se, so, xiang, xing, si. That's why xiang, xiang yun. They put that thought. Actually, that third aggregate sanya is perception, is not thinking. Mental activity is thinking, and consciousness is consciousness. But the xiang yun, I think in the Mandarin, Mahayana teaching, they use that one is, the meaning is actually perception. When you perceive something, xiang dao. So that's why that xiang, I believe, is perception. Because the Pali one is very accurate. Sanya is perception. So this 5 aggregate of form and mind, the 5 skandhas are very tricky. And no one can avoid the suffering of this raging 5 skandhas. Raging or blazing 5 skandhas. It is the most suffering of all. They speak about nirvana, because all this suffering the Buddha teach. Because of all this suffering the Buddha teach, the Dhamma of Nirvana. So this is the way out of suffering, to realize enlightenment, to realize the unconditioned Nirvana. So when it comes to the five aggregates, the grasping aggregate is the final summary of the first number two, which is the eight reality. So these are the five. So I have gone through with you. Our version is the more complete one, easier to comprehend. Whereas you read through what Xuanhua has written here, it's not easy, unless you are a cultivator. Then he continued to explain what is Nirvana. Ni means not produced, see? The unconditioned. Vana means not destroyed. Pusan Pumia. You must not be attached to the force of your body, the physical body. Don't be attached, but seek instead the supreme way or vehicle and attain the happiness of Nirvana, where there is no birth and death. Without birth and death, you would have ended the three parts of suffering and the eight condition of the first number two will have no power over you, and all the limitless suffering. You will have attained the four virtue of Nirvana, is permanent joy, true self, and purity. Yeah. So this one is referring to the unconditioned. Which brings all suffering to an end. You can realize Nirvana, you will have exhausted the limits of suffering. So this is basically explaining to us the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. To those possessed of blessing, people who have cultivated the way and make offering to past Buddhas, and who have in the past make offering to the Triple Gem or Triple Jewel, if you would like to avoid suffering, then make offering to the Triple Gem or Jewel. In the presence of the Triple Gem, perform acts of merit and virtue. However, when you do, don't say, I give money to the temple. What did you spend it on? You shouldn't ask. You shouldn't pay attention to how the offering is used. You plan your own blessings and don't worry about what is done with your offering. You make offering to the Triple Gem, do everything within your power to seek blessings and wisdom before the Triple Gem. How does one seek blessing? To foster merits and virtue is to cultivate blessing. So the earlier advice by Xuanhua is, I think he realized a lot of people who make offering cultivate so-called merits and blessing, they do it with a very strange approach. They do not really comprehend the Buddha Dhamma as yet. That's why a lot of people, when they make offering, after they make offering, they become unhappy. How can this temple do this? I purposely make offering to them, to maybe support them, feed them on. But instead, they use this offering to help others or to do something else. So when you have this type of mind state, it means you don't understand. When you have the pure intent, sincerity to give offering, you just do. But before you do, you must have the wisdom and the understanding to assess that this is the correct place to make your offering, to make your contribution to, where it must serve the purpose and intent. If it's a bogus one or not the genuine one, then of course you will end up having those problems. So understanding is very important. then you will not be entangled with all this. But whatever it is, when there is causes and condition, you decide to offer, that's it, finish. After that, whether the offering is properly served or not, it's nothing to do with your nature anymore. We are at that time when you make that conscious decision. You were sincere and you believe that this is appropriate. That's why you just offer. Then the offering to the Triple Gem is very different, because the Triple Gem is the Buddha, Dharma and the Sangha. So offering to Triple Gem can be done in many ways. You can support the Triple Gem in many ways. Triple Gem is the Buddha, of course, you have conditioned to meet up with the Buddha, then you can do. But that is very rare. But even the physical Buddha is not around, the great beings and the Buddhas, they are still around. So you can still make offering through the altar or whatever. Then you can also make offering to the Dhamma, followed by the Sangha. The Dhamma means the gift of truth. And this can be done in many ways. If you have cultivated very well as a Dhamma practitioner, then you can share your understanding. You can deliver whatever. Then if you can't, you can help out by promoting all this genuine sharing. You can also help to organize the talk or the whatever Dhamma session. Then later on, help out in the setting up of the committee to print the books or to make duplicate recordings of what has been shared. And also nowadays, because of technology, you can help to establish and maintain the website for such Dhamma activity and records and all those things. So these are various possibilities for you to make offering to the Dhamma. Then of course Sangha is very common. A lot of people make offering to the Sangha. So they have Dana. Dana can be in the public place, in the temple, or in the homes of people, house Dana and all those things. So many of these offerings to the Triple Gem can be developed. Then when you go for pilgrimage, you can also make offering to the altars or to the Rupang of all these great beings. Then you can also recite the Buddha, Dharma and the Sangha, share merit, transfer merit, and express your gratitude and thanks towards all the great beings and the Triple Gem. For giving you the causes and conditions to cultivate this Buddha Dharma. Because when we take refuge with the Triple Gem, we are cultivating affinity. And when we have the affinity, because we take refuge. That's why the Buddha wants you to repeat, the first time I go for refuge in the Buddha Dharma Sangha, then for the second time, do TMP, then for the third time, you repeat. So when you make firm aspiration, when you take refuge with sincerity, faith, and understanding, you become different. So refuge is very important. So when you really take refuge, means you cultivate affinity with the Triple Gem, because according to the Buddha, apart from these three refuges, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, you cannot find the teaching, the truth. Unless there is a Sammasambuddha, you cannot find this teaching. Then, if there is no Sammasambuddha, this teaching must be around, means during the Buddha Sasana. That's why the Sasana must be around. Then, when you take refuge with the Buddha, when the Buddha arrives, there are causes and conditions. Then you can connect. Then when you take refuge with the Dhamma, It's the same. When the sasana is around, you will be born during the sasana, but you take refuge. Of course, you have to do it sincerely, with faith, with understanding, and then diligently cultivate that affinity. Then finally, of course, you take refuge in the Sangha, the Aryan Sangha. These are the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. So you will meet up with them. You will learn from them. Then you can be part of the Aryan Sangha. That's how you have to develop the understanding of refuge in the Triple Gem. This refuge is refuge true. According to the Buddha, the Dhammapada verse is very clear. He said, there is no other refuge, say, apart from the Triple Gem. He said, you can go and hide anywhere, not even in the mountains or in the cave or in the temple or anywhere. It's only in the Triple Gem that you can find this teaching to liberate your mind. Means the Buddha Dharma, to realize the enlightenment in the here, now, and free. Apart from it, no other refuge. So this part on refuge is very important. Make a note, listen to it again, then develop it through this understanding. It become very powerful, very beautiful. And it will stick with you, follow your form and mind, your nature. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So this part, the festival, merits and virtue, is to cultivate blessing. So that part already we covered. But there is another aspect which is beyond merits and blessing. Wisdom. How does one seek wisdom or cultivate wisdom? So this part is very important. Maybe we will stop here. Okay, we stop at page 240, actually, the last paragraph. But before we open up our second session, maybe I will just summary to you what we have discussed today. So we have covered most of the first noble truth reality, the eight realities. So you can compare the way we share against what is been given by the text and also Master Chen Hua. Ours is more complete, more in-depth, and it expresses more understanding, and you can relate to real life situation. Then there is also the other aspect of cultivating blessing, taking refuge and all those things, where I explain in much more detail, refuge in the three jewels or the Triple Gem, the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Listen to that part, it will help to deepen your understanding. Then you know why refuge is so important, why the Buddha emphasized so strongly. There is no other refuge save in this world, is it, or universe. Apart from the Triple Gem, there is no refuge save. That's why you must take refuge in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. And the understanding is very deep, not easy. Then the other aspect of the teaching is, which Shen Hua wants to put forward is, when it comes to cultivating Buddha Dharma, it's not only about avoiding evil, doing good, cultivating blessings and merits. Of course, you may have the good life. But is that enough? Does that equip you for life? Are you saved? No. Because merits and blessing maybe can give you good blessings and coming fortune for more wealth, more good condition to go through life and all these things. But when it comes to to confronting the realities of life and existence, most of it you need wisdom. Your wealth, your blessing, your possession has limited capacity. Of course, people may argue that sometimes money is very important. You can afford the specialist, the good hospital, and maybe expensive treatment. You stand a better chance. It may be true to a certain extent, but I can tell you, without the Dhamma, with all this money, you are going to suffer. You are going to be miserable. Even if you have the money and the means, you think you can enjoy life in a very nice hospital. You think they will really give you extraordinary care. When there is sickness, disease, especially cancer and all those things, they still recommend you to go through drastic treatment, traumatic treatment, like chemotherapy, or sometimes they may even administer certain very strong doses of drugs or various type of treatment that is maybe sometimes to those professional medical hospitals that are not so ethical. They recommend you all the expensive and the what they call good profit on, because you have insurance and you are wealthy, you can afford. So this may also happen. So when it happens, most of the time you have to really go to the extent to visit the doctors and see the doctor, consult the doctor, or even the hospital. That is not something you should look forward to. You should look forward to the good, healthy life. You can try to avoid all this unnecessary condition that can lead to affliction. But you have developed the Buddha Dhamma, the understanding part, the wisdom part, which we are going to cover maybe in our next lesson, this coming Thursday, the sharing, then it can be completely different. Because when you have that, you are different. You need not have that type of affliction, that type of unhappy mind state, that type of fear, worry, anxiety, when you are confronted with the first noble truth reality, especially old age sickness impending them. You know how to handle them. Then you also won't be afflicted by the reality of separation, or when you are with people whom you don't like, and when things don't go your way, you can still be happy, at peace. You can still develop all the understanding to confront all this situation. And this is the beauty of the teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. So wisdom is very important. Wisdom born of cultivating the Buddha Dhamma can give rise to very precious and priceless understanding that can help us understand life and cope with life. And this is what the teaching is all about. So when you have the understanding, you approach the cultivation differently, with a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude, and a lot of understanding. You thank your good karma for allowing you to have the good condition to come into contact with such beautiful, priceless teaching that can actually make a big difference to your life, can give you so much joy, happiness, peace of mind, and liberate your mind so that you need not suffer anymore. Suffering need not be, so that you can live the Noble Life, or the third phase of Dhamma, Pativida. Then you can get to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then life becomes meaningful. So all these are possible. This is why the Buddha Dharma is so wonderful. Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. Miao Fa means wonderful. So the wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, this is a very beautiful sutta. Okay, with that, maybe we will open up for second session where we will invite people who wants to share or report their meditation or ask any question. They can just come in.
Good evening, Brother Tio and all Kayamitas. Song and I just came back to see today.
Sadhu.
All right. Just something to share with you all is that perhaps I report to Brother Tio about some phenomena that I experienced.
Sadhu.
Just recently, we went for lunch, is it? At the restaurants, I was standing behind a table, wanting to, you know, call for the waiter. The person in front of me, I think he thought I was like trying to look at his handphone, is it? Because I was standing behind him, is it? So he turned his head and stared at me, is it? And suddenly, I don't know, I mean, I was like, there's an emotion arise, you see?
Yeah,
and before the emotion arise, I noticed my heart vibrate, you see?
Yeah, pounding.
And this is the first time I experienced this. I was like, before even the sort of like, you know, the sense, the thought arrive, the heart start to, it's already moving, you see? Then I was like, what happened like that, is it?
Yeah, this is what the form and mind is all about, human being. The one that has not developed the stability or understanding, this thing will happen. It's very common. It's just like in the early days when we were young, you remember? For my school, ours is a non-co-ed. Non-co-ed means what? All the boys one. My school is all boys school. Then there are two schools which are ladies. Then form four, we are forced to mix because not enough upper secondary classes. So we become co-ed after form four. And of course form five, form six. So they always say, in the beginning, when you join a co-ed school in Hong Kong, you feel so shy sitting next to a lady. And the teacher purposely put them together. So you have to experience all those things. So when you go through life, you experience all this. But when you develop the cultivation, as you mature, as you transform and evolve, you become different. Even for us, after we graduate from the university, or even before we graduate from the university, when we first join the uni, there is a lot of students from other states all over the country. Then when you get to know them, interact with them, initially when it's new, you have different feeling and emotion and all of that. But when you get to know them, you become more close and all of that. Then sometimes you are confronted with situation like what you experience. People, different character, very weird. They stare at you. Then they sometimes become violent or they do certain things that is out of the normal. So how are you going to handle them? How are you going to develop the understanding of that? I realized through my cultivation, after I had the cultivation and the understanding, the first thing I do is I will smile. Then I say, sorry, because I don't know what happened. If I offended you or caused you unnecessary misunderstanding, I'd like to apologize because I don't mean it and all those things. Then it gets dissolved. Then I realize my heart doesn't pound anymore, doesn't have the effect anymore. Then I can interact with anybody under any situation. Then especially after I came out to work as a graduate, then I get to know more people, then I get to interact with more people. Then when I was in the higher senior management, then when people are introduced to you, although I quite skinny, small size, but I am very good at handshake on you. My hand, I don't know why, it's very natural. Even that fellow's hand, very big, very strong, he cannot beat me on. Unless, of course, you got somebody very good at it, then of course they can hold my hand. But I won't know how to adjust until they know I'm confident. Then I can really shake very well. And most of the time, I am the one that have the ability to squeeze the other hand if I want to. Yes, my grip is different. I know how to do it. So I became very confident. That's why in meeting and all those things, I got no problem. Then I can resolve a lot of things. So this is how you develop the understanding, the confidence, and apply the teaching, the Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve all this. So for your case, Jinhao, I let you continue.
I mean, this one, what I'm trying to say is that before I able to react to my thought, is it? And I noticed that, you know, because this is sort of like the first time ever that...
Because last time you are not mindful, not aware. Now you are sensitive. That's why you can pick it up. Then it becomes very clear to you.
Yeah, that's right. So that's why this is what I'm trying to understand. I mean, I can understand from what Ra Song say that, you know, before you able to... the first reaction is all starting from the heart, is it?
You know why or not? Because our physical body, the formation, last time I already shared with you all. You see, your heart there are two centers. One is the conscience means your conscience is there. The other one at the center one, that one is the emotion. That's why whatever happened, the fear or anxiety or whatever, it always happened at the center. Especially lightning strike or whatever. You realize you have awareness, you are not took, you will go there. But the one with the conscience one, which has the Dhamma one, is slightly towards the left. That's why you have to relax and maintain awareness there and stabilize that conscience. Then that conscience will have the understanding. Because you know what is a conscience, isn't it? When you act according to your conscience, you don't act according to your greed, hatred, and delusion. Well, your conscience is the one that is within, that has the understanding, that does not do all those funny things. So the heart, as a meditator, that's the reason why I used to explain in the early day, it's not easy to understand the Buddhist cultivation, because most people are doing it at a thought-based level. Maybe I make use of this condition to explain this one again, which I explained before in the retreat. You see, when it comes to cultivation, the Buddha Dharma, the Buddhist cultivation. So most people start with thought-based method, techniques, and teacher, and all those things. Then they don't cultivate the mind, or the heart, or their nature. So what happened is, our tradition, when we pay respect, we always follow our path. then we pay respect. That's why the Buddha said you must develop the faith, the sadha, the virya. Then without people knowing it, when you fold your palm, there is an energy that points towards your heart. Actually, that one is together with the faith, is trying to activate the heart area. And this heart area, if it's not activated, very difficult for you to develop the sensitivity of mind to detect energy, to detect nature's condition and all these things. Because it's involving the mind, the emotion, the feeling, everything. Then when it touched the gateway or the conscious part, there is a part that manifests differently. Especially when you go and visit a friend or go to somebody's house, a new place, or you want to buy a house, or you follow a friend to see the house. The first instant you walk in, that feeling that come, the sensation that come before your thought come in, that is your conscience. That one is that nature sense it. If you don't feel good, walk out. That is not the place for you. But once the thought come in, then it will create funny imagination. Oh, how come like that one got ghost? Then that one not accurate already. But the first instant one is a true one. If you feel very good, means it's meant for you. The energy, everything is meant for you. So that is the first thing that people have to realize when it comes to cultivating. The heart has to open up first to develop the sensitivity. That's why you develop anapanasati or whatever meditation or so. You finally will come to the heart. It will drop to the heart. The whatever awareness, the mindfulness of the in and out breath, it will go to the heart. Then even awareness-based meditation, finally it will go to the heart. You stay there. And the heart has to be sensitive. It has to open up. And to do that is not easy. It takes many years. Unless you have your past, you are very special. Otherwise, it takes a while. Especially those who have the faith, they move very fast. The faith and the past. So when Sada is there, Virya is there, these two actually will activate. Then it will continue to make you sensitive. Then if you go to retreat, you meditate a lot. Of course, you must know how to meditate. But most people last time, they do method technique and all that. That one also can help to activate, but it's thought-based. They are using the thought. It's just like the Tan Tien people. They go to the Tan Tien and use the thought energy to go in. Because before you have the Dhamma, the wisdom, if you do that, it's actually called tempering. You are tempering with the chakra. Because before you are enlightened, before you have the Dhamma and the wisdom, what happens is you have the yin-yang imbalance. You got no equanimity. Your energy is mixed, yin and yang. So because of that, that is not a pure thought, pure mind that can actually activate that nature. That's why that one can like activate, or we call it tempering with the chakra. Yeah. Then it can cause energy build up, storage or something, that it make that thing sensitive. But without the Dhamma, without the equanimity, your yin yang has problem. So when yin yang is imbalanced, those who go for energy field, Tantian or whatever, they will develop like the cultivator that do energy field. Suddenly the yin and the yang energy become very strong. Strong yin means you feel cold, chill and all those things. And strong yang means you feel heat and all those things. Then these two didn't have the ability to become equanimity. It's not balanced because of the lack of Dhamma, the wisdom part. So these are the things that prevent the cultivator from developing the awareness-based meditation to really penetrate and progress along the path of Dhamma cultivation. Then they don't know what is happening. That's why the two center, they don't know. But if you cultivate awareness-based meditation, then you have the faith, Satavirya, then you keep on doing the bowing and other things. Then paying respect, taking refuge, everything. Then radiating metta, loving kindness, it will open up the heart, especially radiating metta. I realize very strong. Then awareness-based is the fastest. You go in, it will open up. Then it becomes sensitive. Then you will start to understand what I am trying to explain, the two centers inside there. So these two centers, that's why whatever your views, opinion, conditioning, when it's stirred, the sankara paccaya vijnana, the content of consciousness that go in is always from your views, opinion and conditioning. Then when you trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, the first to be felt is at the center of your heart. It's always there. That's why the emotion, the pounding of the heart, everything is like you're very kanchok, whatever. But when you have the wisdom and the Dhamma already, that one doesn't pound. That one can stay there. That's why I can look at a person. I can still smile and rejoice. And just the thing doesn't disturb me anymore. You can experience this, and it's very different, very different. So this part of the cultivation, a lot of people don't understand. They thought, read the Dhamma book, go for retreat, do the method, technique, chant, and all those things, then it will happen. It's not like that. The awareness need to be stabilized. Then that daily mindfulness need to be stabilized. Then the essential Dhamma need to be understood, the contemplative wisdom, first turning, second turning, and the third turning. So all these are the whole process of cultivation, the understanding of it, and the transformation that happened. Actually, a lot of things not written in book, not explained, seldom explained. So it's not easy, but this is what is happening. So this part, you know, thank you for bringing up the condition. I explain again, it's for the benefit of a lot who can understand now. Because now this aspect of the sharing and teaching will become very useful. Then those who have developed the awareness being will understand what I say. Then later on, they will develop their own stability and all those things. So now you can continue with your description.
And also last round gather at your house after the lunch.
Session is very good.
That's right. And your first advice to me, when I heard that, I don't know, I also my heart also is like, you know, moving, you see. I was like, wow. Yeah, but I the advice was really quite good, you see, and then yeah. So this is what I have reason encounter, and what over the retreats I noticed that, you know, really, I mean, we always wanted to use our heart, our mundane mind to cultivate and all those kind of things. But now I realize that, you know, cultivation is beyond our thought can contemplate, you see. It's later, I mean, using mundane mind is just a starting, you see. Don't try to start the things. But the thing is like the actual moving is actually internal, you see. And it's beyond our mind can contemplate, you see. I don't know what to say, but you know, it's all inside and inside is beyond our control, you see.
Beyond your control is because the Dhamma or the Yonisomanasikara, the Dhamma part, the wisdom part, has not stabilized.
Yeah,
it has
correct.
Not become a part of you. When it has become a part of you, that one immediately, spontaneously will arise. That one is the one that protects you from being deluded, from being afflicted, affected. So that one is what the real cultivation is, the Dhamma. Yonisomanasikara, That stability of understanding, wisdom. That's why I say that one you cannot learn. You have means you have. Means if you have cultivated correctly awareness based and all things, then develop the first turning, second turning, and the third turning, wisdom, stability of awakening inside. And then it stay with you. Then you reflect on it contemporary to stabilize it. Then this thing is in your nature. Then whenever you live life, you confront something, any other senses come, it will trigger. That's why we call it Yoniso Manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. This one is spontaneous one. It will come out and tell you, Sabbe Sankara Anicang, Sabbe Sankara Tukang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. All thing is just the way it is. Truth is, reality is. Suchness. Then all the skillful means, the essential Dhamma, they will all surface. Anicang, Dukkang, Anatta, and all this understanding, they will surface. But before you have the cultivation and the stability of all this understanding, it cannot. Then what happens is, like what you go through, after that, you will use your thought, your mundane mind, to try to retrieve to memory the advice that the Buddha has given you, or you call it radio or the books or whatever. So you try to apply knowledge, Dhamma knowledge, to deal with the situation. That one is not Yoniso Manasikara already. That one is acting according to memory. Your memory is where the knowledge is. Memory is not an understanding. The understanding part is the Yoniso Manasikara, the wisdom born of direct seeing, silent mind, awakening, the contemplative wisdom, the understanding. This one is all different. So, as you go through the cultivation, you will experience all this, then you understand, and you will know why people cannot do it. Because the real cultivation and the manifestation of understanding and wisdom is so different. It's not what people think. And most people have it at the superficial knowledge level. That's why they find it very difficult to apply that teaching to real scenario or real situation in life. And they find that they can still cannot go, although they have the Dhamma. Yeah lah, I know lah, cannot attach lah, cannot grasp lah, cannot cling lah, not real lah, not me. You can say all those things, as long as it is not Yoniso Manasikara wisdom that has arisen through insight and realization, no use. The former mind is still grasping. Clinging. The egoic mind is still there. The penetrative realization, understanding is not there. That form of mind has not awakened. That's why it is different. And all these are very beautiful. As you cultivate, you will go through all this. Then you will see how all this unfolds. Then when it unfolds and how you transform, then you start to understand. That's why when you have all this understanding, the way you teach is different. The way you share is different. So now you start to understand the real transformation and cultivation. The process is very, very different. And so much more to it. So much more sophisticated than what people think. And most people are knowledge-based, thought-based. That's why they cannot comprehend. So if they don't do the awareness-based meditation, they don't go through the silent mind to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to develop the understanding, it's not easy. Okay, you know?
Yeah, correct. You know, like just like last year, see, before I actually experienced sati, see, I was just using the mundane mind, the thought,
yeah,
to sort of like, ah, this is sati and something. But you know, when I actually experience it, it's totally different.
Totally
you
different.
Know,
at that time is the mundane mind trying to reason, The analytical part, analyzing, is this sati? Is this what the Dhyo meant? Is this what the Buddha meant? So all this is the thought actually actively trying to know. Why do you want to know? That's why I say when you cultivate, don't try to know. Don't try to do, just let things be and maintain awareness. Relax, silent, maintain awareness until that thing stabilizes. Then once it stabilizes, you will know what sati is. When the mind has entered sati, the sati, when it arises, the form and mind will know where you are in sati. Then you realize, hey, we don't thought that nature already there. And that nature and the thinking mind is so close. Very fast it manifests. Even trying to know, the thing gone already. That's like aware, finish. Aware, finish. Stabilize it. Then only the true understanding will slowly, slowly surface. So what you have gone through is very good. So now what you need is more and more of this stability of awareness in the form of meditation until your mind enters sati. Then in the midst of life, your daily routine, the daily routine, or they call it the daily religious routine, means accumulating into the daily mindfulness and all those things, become very stable. Until throughout the day, most of the time, you are just aware, mindful. Once you reach that state, you progress very fast. Before that, not so easy. You start to see a bit, a glimpse of certain things. You start to have the joy and the interest and all those things. But you have to really go through that stability of inner awareness leading to the stability of the daily mindfulness. That one, once it comes, the whole form and mind become different. Then you will understand many things on your own. Then the Dhamma keep on unfolding. Then you start to see many things that you don't see before. Even now you start to see a bit. These are the grosser parts. These are not the more subtle or refined type. Later on, when your mindfulness become very stable and continuous, you will see the subtle mental intention behind, the fine manifestation of defilement. You will start to see them, how they come through the back door and all those things, and how the thought actually deceive you by telling you story. That's why I always say they come through the back door to prompt you in a different way. So good,
Yeah. So that's why I was very, very amazed, you see, that, you know, with my so little kind of like sati, you see, it totally opened my new horizons on your teaching, you see. Because really your mindfulness teaching, sati is the entry level. Last time, you know, I can hear a lot of what you are teaching. To me, it's like you are repeating.
Yeah, knowledge.
It's like
knowledge.
In and out, just like that. But when I first of experienced sati, it's totally opened up my new horizon. It makes sense to me, is it?
Yeah, and the whole cultivation becomes so different. Because the silent mind that sees and awakens only can understand all this teaching that has been taught by the Buddha. Because this is the awareness-based meditative training that lead to the direct seeing, the awakening. Without the silent mind, the awareness-based meditation, you can't. That's why the Buddha said heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So heedfulness is very important. To be heedful, tupa. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. To be ever mindful, you must be mindful first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. And now you start to see the meaning of heedfulness. Not until you can develop the stability of mindfulness to be ever mindful, you cannot be heedful. You haven't really started the real cultivation. That's why all this understanding will fall into place. And I always hinted to a lot of people, the real meditation only starts when your daily mindfulness has stabilized. Before that, there is no real awareness-based meditation. A lot are still thought-based, knowledge-based. Good, sadhu to you, you know.
Yeah, and also in the retreat, I keep on listening back to your mini YouTube, and it's really, really beneficial. This
me very useful.
And I understand that, you know, I'm actually in the sort of like trying to stabilize, you see, my sati, and it's take. I know that this will take
quite a while.
You see, and
you have to do it consistently. So when your faith is very strong, when your daily religious routine is established, means without fail, throughout the day you do it. That 3 to 6 months to stabilize it is very important. Then after that, it becomes like a part of you. Then the mind has entered sati. Then it becomes very easy. Then that time, sometimes I call it very strange. You want to go back to the old way of heedless thinking, cannot already, because your routine has been so well established and everything is just that way, mindful, aware. That's why you start to see specific phenomenal awareness most of the time, and hardly any thought. Most of the time, you hardly think. You only think when you need to think. Then you understand why you don't think. Because no point. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Unless you want to reflect, develop stability or understanding, or to help people, or to help you resolve some worldly situation, is contemplative wisdom. How to help people and all those things. Then you reflect, you can, how can I share all this so that people understand, so that they will not get themselves entangled. The deluded way, the old way and first thing. So all this will happen as you progress. Then you will know how to apply the right thought to give rise to the right understanding, to share with people, to help people. But that one normally take a while. But you yourself must free and develop the understanding. And then only you can extend it to help others, like the Buddha mentioned under the Sarika Sutta. If you yourself are caught or trapped in the Kamaya, you cannot help take another cultivator out of it because you yourself are trapped. But if you have come out of it, no more delusion, no more suffering, and then easy to help people. Then you can instruct. Unless they have coming obstruction, they cannot receive. Otherwise, most of them actually can appreciate and receive and follow what you try to teach them or guide them. Of course, they must have affinity with Triple Gem and have faith in you. But from the way you express yourself, you project yourself, the way you communicate with them, they can sense you, you are different. They feel safe around you. Then they have confidence in you. That's why bodhisattvas, great beings, they have this quality.
Correct. And really, I noticed that one thing is, you know, throughout our cultivations, it's really go opposite from what our mundane mind is trying to looking for.
Our mundane mind is the opposite of what the normal convention is.
Yes.
The mundane convention is the opposite. You know, what people think life is not the truth, the reality. Well, this is the sakyadity, egoic mind. And that one is selfish, with the evil roots. Then everything to them is real, exists. The form and mind is what they are, the feeling, the emotion, the views, opinion, the conditioning. They are like so real, and with that, they keep on behaving that way, heedlessly, reacting. Because I'm acting according to memory, it's not acting at all. Yeah, this is what the world do. Those that do not have the understanding of the other aspect, mind. That's why Hui Ning say, the first hallmark is to realize the mind that is without thought, Wu Nian. Means your true mind, your silent mind. If you don't start from there, you cannot realize your self nature, your true nature. Then to share Dhamma, to teach Dhamma, to cultivate, apart from that nature, the self nature, the awareness nature, is not the real Dhamma, not the real teaching. That's why all of his teaching is never apart from that nature, the true nature within. From there, it manifests. From there, it arises. That's why after the fifth area explained to him about the Diamond Sutta part, he rejoiced and he told fifth area how amazing that nature is complete by itself. That everything arises from that nature. Nothing is apart from that nature. So that nature that creates the mundane mind, which the Buddha mentioned, mind is the forerunner of all things, that one is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the dependent originating mind. That one is subject to karma, rebirth, birth and death. Whereas the other one is the unconditioned, the awareness nature, where there is no duality, no thought, nothing. Just aware, silent. That's why you understand this, see in the meditation, then you will start to understand. Then you will become very amazed at how wonderful the awareness nature is. But the awareness nature, the energy is different. That one is pure energy, it's not thought energy. It's that nature's energy. And that one is so pure, so pristine. That's why when you are aware from there, you can see things as they are. Then you can actually awaken inside into phenomena. And that one has a lot of possibility. Then wherever you recite the awareness, it will detect. It's very sensitive. That's why your mind is like super sensitive. The mindfulness, the awareness. So all these are part and parcel of the Buddha Dharma and the cultivation. That's why all this while I've been trying to explain all this, and I always share with you all, if you don't have the understanding, it's not easy. But if you have the understanding, it's actually not difficult. It's pretty easy. That's why I said, listen attentively, and just do, follow instruction. Don't add anything. Don't go and use your own idea, concept to come out with things. You already have the mundane mind, problematic enough for you already. So switch it off if you can, but without the wisdom, the spiritual faculty, you cannot switch it off. You're the mental hindrance, create the mental hindrance. That created the five mental hindrance. So the five mental hindrance is the result of lack of the five spiritual faculties. So when you don't have the five spiritual faculties, this mental hindrance will arise and hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness. And because of that, it thinks a lot. It becomes heedless. Then it keeps on arising wrong thought, with the evil result, greed, hatred and delusion. And all the mental thinking, the thought process, are egoic with the personality. That's why it has the evil result, greed, hatred and delusion. And this one keep on oscillating, manifesting, repeating. That's why it continues to create karma. Not until you develop the awareness to break free, then to see the other part, which is the true mind, the silent mind, that nature. And that nature is so different, so beautiful. When you have that understanding and stability, you use that to meditate, you progress very fast. You awaken very fast. You also can see things very differently. That's why sati makes the big difference. From sati, you become heedful, you become aware. Your mind no longer behaves the old way, developing all the habitual tendency, the heedless thinking, all gone, finished. So you transform and become a person who has the understanding, and your life is so different. You live the life of a heedful cultivator. Your mind becomes aware most of the time without thought. So hopefully today's explanation can help many people. Yeah? This is a very good condition. Yeah? Thank you, Jinhao and Sadhu.
Yeah, and I realized that, you know, on this cultivation part, you require a lot of good virtue, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why you must invoke power of merit for causes and conditions for you to meet up with the wise and avoid the foolish. Then make aspiration, make vow for progress. So that the realization of Nibbana can arise as soon as possible. So all these aspirations are very important, because to really meet the true teacher and have the right understanding is very difficult. That's why the Buddha encourages people to apply the power of merits. That's why you invoke power of merits and wholesomeness. It means na punyang, use the punyang, the merits. Kamina. Dhamma me bala samagamo, sattang samagamo ho tu, yawa nivana patya. So this is the pure wish, aspiration to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise so that Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now, soon as possible. So all this aspiration can help, can bring forth the causes and conditions. But there are things that cultivator need to understand. Sometimes you make this aspiration, aspire to avoid the foolish and meet up with the wise, but you don't bother to, through the phase one Dhamma Pariyatti, to understand who are the foolish or heedless and who are the wise ones. If you don't even differentiate them, then like the merchant who met the Samasambuddha, the first merchant, he cannot recognize him. And he's still dumb and he walked away. What a waste. That's why in real life you can see the example. That's why I always share with Kayamita in the early days. I say, you not only make this aspiration, you must also determine to understand who are the heedless and the foolish. Then who are the wise ones? So by now, you all should be able to differentiate between the wise one. The wise one is heedful, aware, with the Dhamma, with the understanding, have the Noble Eightfold Path embodiment. Whereas the heedless, they think a lot. They arise a lot of wrong thoughts. They don't have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. They don't have right view, right speed. They are not refined. They are very crude, full of emotion, anger, and all those things. Then they break the precept. They don't keep the precept. These are the heedless ones. Whereas the wise ones, they definitely have the precepts. Then they are mindful, they are aware, they are heedful, they are different. Their mind is very serene, calm. Then if you have the condition to meet up with those creeping, it's even more marvelous, more amazing, and more beautiful. So this is how you have to improve your own understanding. Make aspiration, yes, but also determine to understand who are the one are the heedless, foolish, so that you can differentiate and who are the wise one. So the key thing to look for is the mindfulness, the heedfulness, the precepts, and the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. If they don't have that, then you know these are the people, they are not so heedful. So these are the ones you have to avoid. avoid the foolish, the heedless. Then when you meet up with the wise one, you should be able to sense it then straight away. Then not only recognize them, follow also, then develop the cultivation with them. That's why these are true Kayanimittas, Dhamma friends. Okay, you know, Sadhu.
Yeah, that's why we are really very lucky because, you know, after your teaching, is it, when I look back to some of the so-called guru type of like, you know, talk and things, is right up, is totally, you know, it's all thought level, is it?
Yeah, thought really. Knowledge-based, you will know one. Yeah, that one cannot lead to real transformation. Cannot. You realize you do all those things, like Krishnamurti say, year in, year out, you can sit for, he used over 1,000 years. That title, I think you review one and then go on.
Sui just set out.
It's not the sitting and the... Oh, not published yet. Oh. Oh, yeah. I thought you published it today. Oh, not yet. But you sent to the 3 website, you know. Ours. There's another one, 1,000 years. This one is ours, sorry, today. It's ours. That's Sui confirm. So that one is like very clear. So a lot of people don't understand. They think the sitting, the long hour of sitting and going to retreat to do all those sitting and walking and silencing their mind to experience the beautiful mind state, the tranquil and the quiet, they think that is meditation. Of course, you can find out. So the byproduct of the true meditation, of course, is also the silent mind, the tranquil, still mind that is just aware, but it's a free mind, it's different. So if you don't know the difference, then you can be wasting your time. Year in, year out, going for retreat, doing all this, repeating all this, but you didn't check. Did it really transform you? Do you really develop the understanding to understand life, to live life, and become different? Are you heedful most of the time? Can you handle life? Can you handle situation? All this, very easy to check. No need, like the Buddha says, pachetang. No need to ask people. You yourself can actually gather the answer. If you have the training, you have the awakening and understanding, you will know, no need to check on. You realize your form and mind has become different, it has transformed. It never have any problem anymore, no more entanglement. If something can lead to entanglement, means you have to check your cultivation. You're still holding on to some form of viewpoints that actually entangle you. The factors are still there. So a lot of this thing, you need to develop the awareness to reveal yourself, to see it clearly. Then understand the deep meaning of anatta nature, the non-self, empty nature, not a permanent unchanging entity. This one is very important. Then understanding the dwelling, paticca samuppada.
Yeah, so really I say that, you know, because I look at a lot of people, they are actually, you know, they are very sincere in cultivation and they thought that they were the right way. You know, they put a lot of effort, their times, you see, and it's sorry to say that, you know, the
very pitiful.
I say we are really, you know, don't know what we have done in the past was such a good karmic, is it?
Can encounter
the true Dhamma from you.
That's why you will have a lot of gratitude. But when you look at it from the Dhamma point of view, sometimes these people, they go through this is because of their past action, their karmic obstruction. This is what they do to promote all this type of cultivation and teaching in the past. Then because of that, when they come, they get themselves entangled back, because this is what you cause a cultivator to lose their way. When you promote such teaching, such cultivation, then you don't know how to come back and steer yourself out. That's why sometimes I just smile. Nothing can be done. Because they are so convinced that they believe what they are doing is correct. So if that is the way they actually believe in or hold on to their view tenaciously, like the Salika Sutta, the last condition, even the Sammasambuddha cannot help you, cannot actually liberate you in any way. Because those who hold on to their view tenaciously means you are not willing to listen. You have that belief that you are right, whether your meditation is right or your teacher is right or your belief in that teaching is right. So all this, the condition and individual, and when they cannot see their mind, their mundane mind, how they actually entangle themselves, it's very difficult to explain to them, to talk to them. That's why my nature always smile and just let things be. If you want to know, then you go and find condition to have this condition to come into contact with the true Buddha Dhamma. Otherwise, it's very difficult. It's already like cast in stone, condition of past coming obstruction. Not until you ask for forgiveness and break the coming obstruction, it's very difficult. Or unless in the past you have helped people to find a way before, then there will be causes and conditions for you to meet up with somebody who is able to condition you or convince you to go and meet up with somebody who has the understanding. And then from there, you develop the condition to free, to cultivate. It's just like this life. It is not because of Song Deong. It's not easy for you all to actually, especially Jin Ho and PG, not PG, Pauliana, for you all to actually continue coming and learn this teaching. But because of what happened to Brother Song, then from there you have taken him, and that brings forth the condition. That's what it's meant to be. It means in the past, you must have helped people before. It's just like this line. Whoever you are able to bring forth the condition and help, they will become your coming inheritance. Then in future, all this will manifest and become useful. So once you have the understanding, you should determine to cultivate it, stabilize it, then use it to help people, especially those who have the condition and the affinity.
Yeah. One last thing I would like to share is that, you know, when I recite the Bodhisattva vow, one of the vow said that, you know, the vow to clear all our karmic obstruction, is it?
Yeah, so that
you know, our nature were able to gain back our life itself. Yeah. And I was so moved by it because I see myself, you see. Wow. I've been trying to clear all my, you know, my family things, you know.
To ask for forgiveness, then do the repentance. And once that one is clear, I tell you, the path is there, it will shine forth. Then it becomes like a pathway to enlightenment. They used to, I think they call it in the Mahayana way, something like that. I forgot the actual word. So it will open up. Without coming obstruction, smooth sailing one. Very, very smooth sailing. Correct.
Yeah. It's because really, like, I look back at my life, it's like, you know, I've been trying to clear all the karmic debts, you see. Still trying. So it's like, you have no control in your life yet, you see, not yeah. until when you clear all the things, you see.
Yes.
So I was so moved. I was like, ah, really, you see,
you got that feeling, miss, very good, miss, it's really working. Because in the yellow card, that three way to ask for forgiveness and do repentance is very complete. First is forgiveness from Triple Gem, remember. Then second one is from all those from the distant past until now. Then the third one is any other coming obstruction not covered, you also ask for forgiveness. So that one is very complete.
What is really comprehensive? We cover yes. all aspects, all angles.
Summarize it to just force it. This is what Maitreya want my nature to share. Do you understand now? That's why Maitreya's request is for this to come out.
Yeah, so really, I mean, this is like what in the Mahayana Sutra they say, you know, 这个正法是, 哇, 百千, is thousand
yeah, yeah,
years,
yeah.
Like, cannot.
The opening
verse. Yeah. 我今见闻得受持愿解如来真实, it's like, to me, really, you see, it's so, the possibility is so, so little,
rare.
You know.
Yeah, so rare. And yet, you have it.
Yeah, correct. And it's so near SS2, is it?
Yeah. And also, last time when we go through the Heart Sutta, you have the Six Patria, Platform Sutta, and the Heart Sutta, we always recite the opening verse of a Mahayana Sutta, and Xuan Hua put it very clearly. How rare it is. They are talking about 500 million aeons. You may not even encounter it. That is the extent of the time frame for samsara. Good. Anything else, Jinao?
Yeah, I think that's all for my sharing.
For today, I think we should end. We have 10:36 already.
Yeah, I think I'll leave the best sharing, you know, for Brother Song on Thursday, because he have more thing to share. More interesting thing to share.
So Thursday we will get Brother Song. How many days was the retreat you all went to?
The actual day was 10 days, but all together is 12 days.
Okay. Okay, so let us now rejoice with the good sharing by Jin Hao and the causes and conditions that has arisen for this teaching to come out. Sadhu.